right, we're here this week on Channel 9. I am Dan Fernandez, and this is...
Brian Keller, and you told me this was going to be a St. Paddy's Day edition of
This Week on Channel 9.
Yeah.
Jesus.
$50 costume rental, got, you know, good for nothing here.
Yeah, that's some hot stuff. That hat is pimping.
It is. Yeah, you were supposed to be a leprechaun, but whatever.
Yeah, so anyways, shall we get started?
Let's. So it's our first week back back in the studio after Mix, right?
Yeah, first week back. So one of the interesting things that we had going on was a guy named Angus Logan and Remy from the Silverlight Streaming team just recently announced some upgrades to Silverlight Streaming. So since Silverlight 2 came out at Mix, they now support Silverlight 2 on Silverlight Streaming. And then, honestly, they should have done, like, a used car advertisement for this.
Everything must go.
Yeah, exactly. Storage used to be 4 gigabytes, now 10 gigabytes.
We're not going to give you 10 gigabytes.
Max KBPS used to be 700, now 1.4 megabits per second.
Maybe we should do that for them.
Dude, if I had a huge cowboy hat, and it had to be like a huge cowboy hat, we would totally do that. So, and traffic, now 1 million minutes to 5 terabytes per month.
That's a lot of traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. We should get, like, the monster truck guy to announce this. So, anyways.
Sunday.
And it's all free. So, at least while it's in beta, I guess. So, cool stuff.
And the little secret about this, if you run out of 10 gigabytes, you just open up a new account. You can. Seriously. They don't really care. I talk to them about that.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll just cut that. Now, in the dogs and cats living together section.
Oh, my.
Yes. It's Sign of the Apocalypse number 51.
Is that before or after Locust?
I think that was before Apache came on campus a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Scott McNeely. Yeah, so yet another example of how we're working with another open source organization. In this case, it's the Eclipse Foundation. So Sam Ramji from Port 25.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Port 25 is...
It's the it's like kind of like TechNet. Version of Channel 9 or...
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
They don't have,
you know,
it's cool
really
mascot.
Hard to pull through a clover-shaped straw. Just wanted to let you know.
I can't believe you're drinking Zima. How is Zima Irish?
It tastes just like 7-Up, and so my manager doesn't know that I drink at work. But
Zima.
Yeah.
Zima.
Yeah.
Wow, great.
So, Eclipse.
I guess if you're a fat sorority chick, that's what you... Okay. Not that we have. Okay.
There you go. You've just marginalized our audience. Thanks.
Yeah. Sorority girls are going to hate me. Now, what's interesting is they're actually, the Eclipse folks want to have Windows Presentation Foundation for their SWT, their widget toolkit, so they could actually have a better experience on Windows. And they're investigating card space support as well.
So let me get this straight. You're using Eclipse as your development environment, you're coding away, and then you can target now WPF. Applications.
Something like that, yeah, sure.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, so some pretty cool stuff, and of course the dog and cat are friendly.
Nice.
Now, speaking of random things on Channel 9, this time instead of being behind asking the questions, we actually got to ask the questions of Mary Jo.
Yeah, so speaking of the apocalypse, when I first came to Microsoft, I thought that I was going to lose my job if I accidentally slipped up and said something to Mary Jo Foley. There were all these rumors that she rode the shuttles around, that she like posed as a receptionist to try and extract information from Microsoft employees.
And for people that don't know, Mary Jo Foley is a really well-known blogger. Mm-hmm. She's like, if you want to know somebody in the org chart, you know, you don't use the global address book. You call it Mary Jo.
We find out about stuff from Mary Jo Foley. It's amazing. And I'm not just making that up. Like, it's happened a number of times, right?
Yeah.
So Microsoft Watch, I think, is what she runs. So, but we put her in the hot
seat. She actually
seat.
Changed. She's now on All About Microsoft on ZDNet. It's a whole thing. Joe Wilcox is now Microsoft Watch.
Oh, okay.
She's independent. Yeah, true story.
Yeah.
I ran into her at the airport at Mix.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, this is Mary Jo's opinion of and thoughts on a huge corporation like Microsoft letting everyone blog.
All right.
So let's go to the clip.
I think
Without
it's great.
Any PR guidance whatsoever.
Yep. I think it's great. And I think it proves that people have good sense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so few times when people at Microsoft have done the wrong thing in their blogs. There are times, and I'm always happy to catch them if they do. I'm like, yay, oh, they use that code name, great.
Oh, interesting.
But you know, I'd say it's amazing how much people, it's not towing the line, but they think before they blog. And that, mm-hmm. I've heard that's what Microsoft's way is of explaining to bloggers, like, just mm-hmm. think before you blog, you know, mm-hmm. and don't do something crazy or stupid. And I think it comes through in the blogs.
So, great interview with Mary Jo. I think that's a really interesting one to watch the full clip on if you have time.
Yeah, because the very first part is actually Don Box, and you can see Mary Jo fidgeting as, like, Don, like, forces her to, like, summarize your entire book that you're working on in, like, one sentence.
Exactly.
She's like, huh?
And he jokes about the ship date and everything. All in good fun.
So, speaking of crazy people mm-hmm. on Channel 9.
Where are you going with this?
We now have Ice Cube.
Okay, I don't think he's crazy, but it's crazy that we have him on Channel 9.
Exactly.
That's what you meant.
Yeah, sorry. So, yeah. I love Ice Cube. I got Predator at home. I got the old... I think I had that on tape. That's how...
I always thought Predator was what you called your wife. You meant you had the album.
No.
Okay, all right, that explains so much.
So
why do we have Ice Cube on Channel 9?
Why do we have Ice Cube on Channel 9? So, he recently launched a new web property. He calls it the ESPN of hip hop.
All right.
So, which should be pretty interesting. So, and it's all running on Silverlight. So, here's his thoughts on Silverlight.
Yeah, this is Michael Schroeder interviewing Ice Cube, which I'm insanely jealous of Michael.
I know, and Michael's not a hip hop guy, so I'm like, man, if I could just, you know, if I could kiss his ring. All right.
Let's roll the clip.
Let's go to the clip.
It's incredible, you know. It's kind of like as good as we put in, we get out. So if we put in DVD quality, we get out DVD quality. And I think that's what really makes Silverlight so sexy is the fact that it's, you know, when you look at Flash, it seems like you're ground zero or something. You know, it's kind of real grainy. And here, this is crystal clear. Streaming without any interruptions, without having to wait or you know, and just you know, it's just as good as watching HD television.
So you heard it here. Silverlight is sexy, according to Ice Cube.
Yeah, I know, dude. That's gonna be my ringtone. Silverlight is sexy.
Nice.
So some pretty cool stuff there.
Nice. What do we have next?
Now, another clip. This is, we still have clips from Game Developer Conference. So one of the cool ones is I caught up with Sean and Luis. Sean and Luis are from Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bungie's the developer of Halo, who you are. What's your ladder status on Halo, by the way?
Oh, man. I haven't played a game with a regular controller that's not shaped like a guitar in so long, I couldn't even tell you. But, back in my day, I used to be pretty good at Halo.
All right. These are the guys talking about they run what's called the Bungie server farm. So they have 100+ servers, and what they do is it's just a massive distributed asset processing system. So they have this light feature where they need to light a huge map. And you think, like, all right, so how much work does it take to actually light a map? And, let's show the clip.
And well, before we do, I could offer some perspective from being on the XNA build team for a while. XNA build, I don't think they're actually going to ship that product, but that's a whole other segment. Back in the day,
XNA build ship with XNA?
No. So XNA build is a little bit different. It's not the compiler for XNA framework applications. XNA build was a separate product that helped you lay out and optimize your asset build pipelines. So it's a really complex problem space. You could read entire books about how to lay out a good asset pipeline for building games. But But we think about, you know, complex projects in the programming world can take 5-10 minutes to compile. In the asset world, it can take days to render an entire game. And so you have to do this iteratively, and so there's a lot of thought and energy going into how you optimize these so you can do incremental builds and things like that. But mm-hmm. But these are the guys at Bungie who take care of that, so some of the smartest build engineers in the world. It's,
So this is them talking about Lightmap.
Cool.
Our Lightmap rendering farm,
mm-hmm.
And it's essentially, you can think of it as just a big distributed rendering system, and we have levels that, would take many, many, many hours to run just on a single machine, and even when we distribute it across 100 machines or sometimes even more, it can take a considerable amount of time, you know, 12 hours, 24 hours, sometimes even more.
So that's what it takes to give us a great Halo. So keep up the good work.
Some pretty interesting stuff. I mean, over 100 machines distributed processing just parts of a level, and it still takes 24 hours.
Did you happen to find out what these guys are working on next?
Yeah, they actually showed me screenshots of... Hells no! Jesus!
I almost got it out of you.
Yeah, I know. God, I had to give like my learner's permit, my first one, and a blood vial just to get the interview. So.
I'm not sure I know what that means, but... next clip, please.
Okay, so... Oh, and it's all in C sharp.
And it has a wiki as well.
What doesn't?
Yeah. That's a little inside joke dating back to our first episode for the long-time This Week listeners.
We'll clip it in constantly. You want to intro this? You want me to intro this?
Yeah, so this is really cool. It's a Coding for Fun project by Arian Culp. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens when you reboot your computer. Lots of startup programs that launch. And the problem space that Arian tackled here was, wouldn't it be nice if some of those things didn't start up right away? Because I don't know about you, but I come in the morning, I boot up my PC, and I've got to send that first email, or I've got to check, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever,
oh, yeah.
Right? And so my computer is meanwhile churning while it's launching Messenger, it's launching Yahoo Messenger, it's launching
preloading all this
folder
stuff.
Share.
I don't give a damn.
Yeah, so wouldn't it be nice if I could help manage some of that? And so that's the application that Arian wrote, and it has all the source codes available on Coding for Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things he does is allows you to set a delay for when these items start up. So maybe, you know, I don't need to start Messenger first thing in the morning. I'll wait for that to start, you know, 90 seconds after startup or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so the code sample is really cool in that it has, well, it's got like pinvoke. It's got one of the other interesting things he does is using some of the performance counters,
mm-hmm,
for checking when a machine is actually idle. So if meaning there's a way to check if the machine is idle and how long it's been idle, and then you can figure out some sort of formula where, hey, it's been idle for 5 seconds, and I hope that seam is getting flat. If it's been idle for 5 seconds, then go ahead and launch it up. So mm-hmm, some pretty interesting characteristics for preloading things.
Cool. Nice job, Arian.
Yeah, cool stuff.
What's next here?
So we have some WPF controls. These are, first one is a tool set. It's open source on CodePlex called FluidKit. And the goal here is to have a bunch of controls, whether that's like doing the cool balloon decoration, something to make it easy to do drag and drop operations. So like, you know, I'm dragging my email into a folder or something like that.
Hmm.
The cover flow style where I have the multi-pane where, you know, I scroll left and right and it gets bigger when it's in the center or not. And some other cool controls, and that's all in the FluidKit. And the other one is Exceed. So they've had an express version of their data grid, and this is the pane. WPF doesn't have a data grid, didn't ship with one, although they are adding one in the future. This is their second version of their data grid, and it's free.
That's a cool-looking data grid, too.
Yeah, yeah, and even their Pro one has some pretty amazing skins in it as well. So mm-hmm, the Pro one you do have to pay for, but just take a tour of some of the screenshots of things you can do. And the ability to skin controls in WPF, it's both... it's incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah, some free controls.
Cool. Pick of the week.
Pick of the week,
nice.
Baby.
It's been a while since we've done picks of the week.
I know. It's been too long.
It has. It has. So my pick of the week, this is a video that I interviewed Jeff Beeler. And Jeff Beeler.
Who's Jeff Beeler?
He is, I'll tell you who he is. Jeff Beeler is our chief of staff on Visual Studio Team System, one of the coolest titles at Microsoft. And basically, Jeff has, he's been, just to sum it up, he's been doing project management for a long time at Microsoft. So I think he was the what we call the box PM for Visual C++ way back in the day. But over the years, he's become really good at managing large teams of software developers. And what Jeff sat down to show us is how they use Team Foundation Server to build custom reports and really help understand what Sam Guggenheimer refers to in his book about Team System as the smells of the project. So show me where there might be bottlenecks. Show me, you know, when do you think we were going to be done with this particular feature? What are the things that we have to, you know, remove or add resources to so that we can ship great software on time? And Jeff, you know, provided an excellent look by showing us some of the real reports of what he uses every day to build currently Visual Studio Team System Rosario. So I thought this was a really interesting interview because it's a little bit apart from the norm when we look at, you know, what's this API or what's this code library. This is kind of the higher level. How do you manage large teams without having to go pester everybody and say, hey, how's your piece of the code coming, right?
Yeah.
So.
And this is, you know, over 1,000 devs are working in developer division using TFS to actually ship the next version of Team Suite.
And that's just in developer division. So if you also take into account all the other teams that we take dependencies on, like the Microsoft Office team or any of these other teams
SQL
across
Server,
the company.
SQL Server, we always work close with.
I mean, it's amazingly complex. And so obviously Jeff and his team have had to build a number of techniques over the years to really help them manage those large software teams.
Yeah, I actually installed TFS at home recently. Yeah, yeah. I know. So I'm assigning bugs to my wife, like get laundry, and I send her like things like she says like can't repro and postpone, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Kitchen is dirty by design.
Yeah, exactly. God, I can't believe that.
Nice. Oh, to be a Fernandez.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Thank God my wife actually is a developer, so she. So she can just close bugs, and then she opens a bunch of backlogs on me.
Like, nice.
Yeah.
Good old Predator. So what's your pick of the week here?
My pick of the week.
Oh, this Zima's really getting to me.
Yeah, I'm going to need a sip there after this conversation. So this is the long-winded story. So the SQL ISV blog came out and did an example of somebody that took a real-world case of a customer that had a cursor running. And a cursor is when you do like looping constructs instead of ISAM, sequential access method, a SQL code.
Okay.
And anyways, so this one query in the center is actually how you can tell if something's running on your SQL box, how long is the query going to tell? You run this query, and then you can actually see how long the execution time is.
So you run this asynchronously while the other query is running.
Yeah,
and it
open
returns.
Up another thing. It'll tell you, hey, this thing's running, and then here's kind of like how close it is to being done.
Super cool.
So this guy looked at it, and just because of the nature of the beast, it would have taken 8 months.
Whoa.
For this query to run using a cursor. So he changes it to just be a regular SQL statement, and he finishes what took 8 months and, you know, thousands of hours. He did it in 24 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. So some pretty crazy stuff. So this is actually, I found it via Jason Haley's link blog, but just say no to cursors. And I remember when I was a developer, doing this website, and I had inherited some SQL cursor code, and I did the same thing. I migrated like an 18-hour process, and it executed in like 24 seconds.
Wow.
Once it changed off of cursor. So,
hope you got a promotion for that.
No. The entire company went bankrupt, and
nice.
The CEO was stealing stuff. It was
episode.
It was actually on a site called Eft Company.
Oh, so, good. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, great to have in your resume.
Yeah.
Just say no to SQL cursors, and you can get massive performance. And here's a really simple one to see how long things can execute.
Cool. Good stuff. Nice pick of the week.
So this is, while this isn't new this week, this is a really funny one. So I grew up playing Super Street Fighter and Street Fighter on...
How do we get? Hop, 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 loop, hop.
Juryuken! And like my legs are, yeah. So,
go ahead, show us. Oh, you've got your mic'd up. Otherwise, I'm sure you'd be all over the studio.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we should talk about some of the characters. But anyways, this is Zangief and Dalsim, screenshot that you can see here. So this is a video of Street Fighter the later years, and College Humor did an entire series, a nine-part series. If you watch Street Fighter, you should definitely watch the series. It's like what they're doing now. So, like, Zangief the wrestler is, like, cleaning. He's, like, the janitor at some place. Dalsim's taxi driver. Chun-Li is owns, like, a dry cleaning store. Like, just all these nice. Crazy things. They try and get a tournament back. E. Honda loses weight and then tries to repro somebody.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So, yeah. Check out the whole series. And the reason we bring it up is because YouTube is actually doing their video awards. I guess it's... It started, like, this week or so. Mm-hmm. So they're in the Best Video Series on YouTube award. And there's another one called The Guild, but the Street Fighter one is an homage to the classic game. So I voted that one.
Absolutely.
Now, here's another random point. Did you know that the Street Fighter names were actually changed, the Japanese game versus the American game?
No, but that happens a lot. I was reading, we had the King of Kongs guy down at Mix,
yep.
To try and break the Donkey Kong record.
Of course.
I was reading about how the game Donkey Kong got named. When they sent the fax, it said Monkey Kong, but the game was supposed to be Monkey Kong, but the fax
really?
Was so bad that they read it as Donkey Kong, and they printed like all these T-shirts and flyers and all this stuff, and so the name just stuck. Which you, I never really second guessed. There's no donkey in that game.
Yeah,
it totally makes sense when you read that explanation. So.
Oh, that's hilarious. So one of the things that was interesting was. And I had some Japanese friends when I was growing up, Teru Markanshigi. Anyways, the guys were telling me, and they had the Japanese version, mm-hmm. M. Bison, who was the boxer guy, was actually named after Mike Tyson. M. Bison, M. Tyson. And it looks exactly the same, and like with the effed up tooth and the side thing. So and they changed the names just because of that. And then they thought Vega wasn't strong enough, so they made M. Bison, they made that like the final boss.
Wow.
So, yeah, some fascinating stuff.
Yeah, we've completely gone off on a tangent now, so I think it's time to wrap up.
That's right, it is. So, thank you, Brian. Thank you, everyone, for another week on Channel 9.
See you next week.